Recording in progress.
Chair, Mr. Moralong just joined, so it's 6 members.
Okay. Let's start. The meeting is officially open. Let me welcome members of the committee. Welcome officials from Treasury. Welcome the stakeholders who are going to make a submission this morning. Welcome the support team of SCOF and the entire parliamentary team present here. Welcome the media and the public. are there apologies before we go to the next item of the purpose of today's meeting?
Yes, Chair, Mr. Faruput is writing an exam.
Who's writing the exam?
Mr. Sarupan, Ashok Sarupan from the DA.
Oh, okay. No, thanks. We wish him the best with his exams. Let's move to the next item, which is the purpose of today's meeting. It is about the public hearings on the public finance Management Amendment Bill B41-2018 and the Public Finance Management Amendment Bill B13-2020. Over to, is it Libat Solutions, JW Pty Ltd. You have got 15 minutes to present. Over to you, and you are welcome. Welcome to our meeting of the Standing Committee Finance.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. My name is Lebogang Motsupe. I'm the Executive Director of Lebogang Solutions. Basically, today's presentation is to propose the integration of an element of risk as core to public finance management. However, going forward, I will open with a question as to what role can big banks play in protecting public finances? Because if and when we refer to Section 7, the banking, cash management, and investment framework, the National Treasury must prescribe a framework within which departments, public entities listed in Schedule 3 and constitutional institutions conduct their cash management. From our end, from our public finance administration end side, we advise that this to consider the following to determine the bank's role in protecting the public finance, which will be the role of the NEC and an accounting officer in public finances. And then number two would be the high value transaction of plus 215 million rand. It is for that reason, as an entity, we propose the following clause be added to the PFMA and measures be taken to facilitate the initiation of the process. The proposed additional clause is clause 7, subsection 6. A bank is as follows. A bank which has opened a bank account for a public entity listed in Schedule 3 or a constitutional institution or any other institution that holds money for a department, a public entity listed in Schedule 3 or a constitutional institution must promptly, in the case of the bank withdrawal of above 250 million rand, request in writing, National Treasury's approval or reasons for withdrawal of the finances from the bank. Then I will jump directly into our proposed amendment, the sections that we as an entity propose that be amended, which will be Section 18, Functions and Powers. Subsection 1, a provincial treasury must. Then subsection 1, subsection A says prepare the budget, the provincial budget, and submit the budget to a risk committee to consider effects of uncertainty on budget objectives. The treasury should prepare a budget for a province. A provincial treasury should prepare a budget for a province. It is then that the budget should be submitted to a provincial risk committee for risk assessment prior to the sign-off of that risk and the budget. As is, we have 20 million allocated to the water economy for job creation when the water economy has no anticipated jobs for the current midterm 2019 to 2024 term. It is for that reason that we propose the integration of an element of risk within subsection 1A of section 18, Functions and Powers, for proper monitoring and evaluation of budgets before sign-off and implementation. Subsection 2E must monitor and review the implementation in provincial public entities of international, national, and provincial norms and standards. Because currently we can no longer allow to view as correct for the provincial treasury to have instances where it says they may assist. Our question is, based on what made the decision for capacity building be made, whereas capacity building shouldn't be an option on sustainable public finance management. From our end, capacity building should be a must if we need to enforce proper governance and proper financial management. We should make sustainable public finances a must, and capacity building should therefore be at the forefront of capacity building. Thank you very much. That was our presentation for today. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Mutupi, for your submission. Let's come to the interaction. That's questions for clarity and comments by members. Members, we have received a presentation or a submission from Mr. Lebogang Mutupi. Do you have clarity-seeking questions? No. We're supposed to get treasure first, isn't it, Alan? I mustn't.
Yes, Chair. I think Advocate MP van Schoor is online for National Treasury.
Okay. Before members, let's get treasure. Over to you, National Treasury.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson and other members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity. My presentation will be quite brief. The letter that our Director General wrote to you indicated that Treasury is currently busy with a comprehensive review of the PFMA. At this stage, we've already received input from all institutions that are subject to the PFMA, national provincial departments, public entities, as well as the constituent institutions that are listed in the PFMA schedules. So we're currently busy considering that input, and subsequent to that, we will engage further with stakeholders. And then there will also a process of requesting public comment on those amendments. And obviously that we will also, what we will publish is a draft bill for comment. Which we didn't specifically mention in the letter or didn't mention in the letter is that we're also busy looking at reviewing the Treasury license, which might actually, if it's completed in earlier, that will be issued. And some of the aspects that were raised in the two bills could also be considered in that process. But the main thing is our view is that, the amendments in both bills, we should consider that as part of our comprehensive review. And once we've completed the government processes on draft legislation, including the impact assessment and obtaining the state law advice certification and the cabinet approval, bill will be tabled in Parliament for Parliament's consideration. Now, the amendment to the PFMA, the intention is to table it in Parliament either in 2023 or 2024. So those are the timelines for the PFMA review. We also, at the same time, not relevant to the two amendments bill before the committee, we are also reviewing, conducting a comprehensive review of the MFMA. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Ms. Kaur. Over to members' comments and clarity-seeking questions.
Chair, could I come in here?
Okay, I see. Where are you from, Mr. Kachale? Are you from Treasury?
No, I'm one of the I'm the author of one of the bills.
I'm asking, are you from Treasury?
No, I'm a member of Parliament and the author of one of the private members' bills.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, no, over to you, Honorable Kachale.
Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, I've listened to the advocate from Treasury, and frankly, I'm a little bit baffled by what is being said, notwithstanding the review that is proposed of the PFMA, because certainly my bill, and my belief is that the other bill as well, can be incorporated into the review. Question is, before we get to the questions, let me just state that as it stands, the Act does not provide for additional measures in instances where reports are not tabled. And the department or entity is not required to table any reports within a specified time after it is provided an explanation which has been tabled. All the bill proposes to do is that the annual reports, financial statements, and audit report on statements referred to in Section 65 be tabled 60 days after the explanation has been tabled. Now, this is very uncontroversial and non-partisan. My questions are, in terms of what Treasury is proposing, is how long will this process take? It's the advocate has talked about 2023, 2024. Will it be 2025, 2026? Because that's our experience in these matters. What happens in the interim? Would this bill not plug the much-needed gap in the interim in a party-agnostic and non-partisan way? And given the general malfeasance across so many sectors, would this not provide the requisite info to help us combat the same? In view of this, I'd certainly like to ensure that this bill is presented and tabled before the National Assembly, notwithstanding Treasury's reservation, shall we say. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Kachalia. Any other member who will want to make a comment or ask a question?
Mr. Chairman, my hand's up.
Okay, Mr. Lees, over to you.
Sanbonana Nonke, good morning to everyone. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for having this meeting and this public participation. It's that really is great. Thank you. First of all, let me just say a thank you to Lebogang for the presentation. I think he makes some valid points about the acts, the act, and you know, I think they perhaps should be looked at in the process, in a separate process, because they don't really directly affect the bills of my colleague Khaled and myself. So, but a very big thank you for taking the trouble, doing a very comprehensive presentation, and making yourself available to the committee this morning. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, in terms of the bill, my bill, MP has motivated that the bill should be considered as part of a bigger process. And MP, good morning to you. Long time since I've dealt with you, and nice to see you. It certainly is a possibility. But the Don Don, his letter, quite correctly says, let me find it. It says the rule 2864E provides that department in the national sphere of government sufficient opportunity to make submissions to the committee on the objects and particulars of the bill. On the objects and particulars of the bill. Now, National Treasury have not commented on the bill. And I think, MP, you must speak for yourself, but it seems to me that you don't have an objection of any sort, really, to the contents of these bills, because, as Khaled has said, they're pretty nonpartisan positive moves, given the history of state capture that we've experienced, and particularly with, in my instance, with the bill that I'm sponsoring, with regard to the abuse of the government guarantee system, in particular with Eskom and with SAA. So I would really ask MP whether the put aside the bigger review, which I agree with Khaled, will probably take years and years and years. What are the are there any specific issues with regard to these two private members' bills, and reasons why they should not be enacted, or perhaps why they should be enacted? I would think that the view of National Treasury about the specifics in these bills should be that they should be enacted rather than they should not be, given that there's a bigger review taking place, which even in your timeline, MP, is a 2 to 3 year timeline. I suggest to you that it'll probably a 5 to 6 year timeline, if not more. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd really like MP to comment on the specifics of the bill. And then, you know, perhaps I can propose amendments to accommodate that. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Siyathokoza, Mr. Liz.
You mean Ngonga?
Ngonga Tina, Honorable. Over to you, Dr. George.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to leave my video off because of connectivity. I didn't hear anything from the National Treasury to say that they did not support what was being proposed. In the absence of that, I think we can take as given that they actually support them. That they support them. I agree also with my colleague Alf Lees, that if we're looking at a time frame, that the Treasury seems to be saying is that we are looking at a bigger review. This sounds very much like the pension reform as well, that yes, there are things that we need to attend to, but there is a nebulous in the future process that's going to happen. And we know how long they take. I mean, if you look at pension reform, it's been on for, I think we're heading to 20 years now. So maybe 5 years isn't even you know, is very short in this big scheme of things. But our term is going to end in 2024. So we certainly won't see anything by then. And as mentioned, is that Treasury said to us the other day when we were discussing their performance, is that the municipalities, many of them have just collapsed financially and Treasury is actually unable to fix that mess. We saw the same in the state-owned enterprises, etc. We see the leakage from the National Treasury funds all the time, taxpayers' money. So any steps, positive steps that have been proposed certainly here would take us in the right direction. So I really cannot see why we would need to wait for this nebulous process in the future when we have a problem right now. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Dr. George. Yeah, those are the comments and clarity-seeking questions from members. Treasury, Ms. Kaur and your colleagues, can you respond?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Firstly, on the timing or the time the comprehensive review will take, it is underway. It's not something that's still just in the pipeline. As I indicated, we obtained comments from institutions subject to the PFMA. But as you know, we have processes within government to follow before we can table a bill in Parliament. And yeah, I do admit we can't with certainty say exactly how long that will take. And that's why in our programming we indicated either tabling in 2023 or 2024. But the aim is not to sort of take such a long process as indicated by some of the members that commented now. On the specific of the amendments, we do have some concerns about some of the wording of the amendments. And we also have the view that some of these amendments, it should rather be captured in trade regulations and not in the Act. But if we, if the committee requires us to comment on the specific amendments, we do need to get a mandate and we can submit later indicated our comment on the amendments in the bill. We can at this stage give just from an official perspective, or as officials but not yet mandated by our DG or the minister, give our input should the committee so requires.
Are you done, Ms. Van Skoon?
Sorry, Chair, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the only thing is that if you want us now to comment, I can ask my colleague that works with the PFMA on a daily basis if she wants to give input. But I think it's important for us to also get a mandate from our principals to formally submit comments on the two bills on a technical level. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Any follow-up question or comment before we move to the next item?
Chair?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, my hand's up too.
Okay, let me take Mr. Liz, then come to Honorable Abraham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little bit taken aback, but anyway, I suppose all things get done and in their own time, because the Dondo's letter actually specifically details that that the submissions must be about the bill, the contents of the bill, but MP's not ready for that. So I would really urge that those comments be obtained and that we get them so that we can look at them. Amendments to bills are entirely possible. And so if there are certain reservations or concerns, let's hear them. And it's entirely possible that that we might concur. We'll certainly consider them. My history of working with National Treasury is that I have very seldom found myself disagreeing with their proposals, except when it comes to tax rates, of course. There we have a massive disagreement, and we'll probably continue to disagree about tax rates for the duration. So, Mr. Chairman, I would really ask that the National Treasury provide those concerns. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Mr. Liss. Honorable Abraham, then Dr. George. Nokze?
Yes, I'm here, Chair. Thank you.
Okay.
Am I okay, Chair?
Yeah, you are now audible.
Okay. Chair, I think we don't seem to be ready, all of us, with contributions into the amendment. I have not had a response to Mazambane's questions from Honorable Kachalia. I'm not sure if he is not ready with the responses. Also, I think there is an element of not being ready even from National Treasury, because I hear so much in the response about consultation that needs to happen. And I think, Chair, in all honesty, we as parties also do need that time so that we can be able to consult. Because, Chair, in terms of what has come out from the officials of National Treasury so far, in my view, is that what the honorable member wants to amend in his proposal is already in the process of being done by National Treasury. However, there is also an element that says we can probably accommodate this in recommendations or regulations. So for me, Chair, maybe let's just commend the member, because we do need private bills from members. But I think let's give each other time to make the necessary consultations so that we do not duplicate what is already happening at National Treasury. However, we appreciate also the fact that such moves will drive National Treasury to be much more urgent in what they are doing. Because if the amendments are not forthcoming from National Treasury, we cannot blame members from coming up with private members' bills. So, Chair, in essence, my plea with the meeting is that let's give each other time. Let's give National Treasury time. Let's give Honorable Kachalia himself time to go back and seek to respond to the clarity questions that have been asked here, and also that political parties also go back and make the necessary engagements so that we come back here and have a fruitful discussion with having done the necessary consultations. I thank you, Chair.
Nkosi Nokso, Dr. George.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to get some clarity here on terms of process, because, I mean, what cannot happen is that a member proposes a private member's bill, and then we get feedback from a department, Treasury or any other department, that says, well, you know, we are going to put this into the Act in the future sometime. So, you know, therefore, let this happen then whenever this happens. Now, that cannot be. There is a process that needs to be followed. And I think we learned that very clearly in the process of my own private members' bill. So, you know, obviously it's up to the members who are proposing the bill, but the clear thing is that they have in fact put together a proposal for a private members' bill, a very sensible one that takes us forward into the future for a better financial management of the people's money. So here it is. And then what they've done is they've gone through the process and have asked for inputs. Now, here are some inputs. The Treasury's input has not been to look at the detail of the bill, et cetera, and say, well, yeah, we think it's a good idea, or no, it's not a good idea. It's, well, it will be included. So it seems like they like the idea, but sometime it will be included. I don't think we can do that because it is Parliament's processes that must be followed. So obviously, if Treasury is not ready to give the inputs, I don't know whether they were asked to do that. But, you know, my understanding of the process, as we followed in my bill, is that you have a bill, people give comment, Treasury itself gives comment, then the members are given the opportunity to then reply to that, and then the committee decides whether it wants to proceed with it or not. So I certainly do not support us, you know, dilly-dallying on this thing and, you know, waiting forever. How long is a piece of string? No. I mean, obviously, if we haven't got the inputs from Treasury, then we must get them. But it is really, we cannot expect the members who have spent a lot of time and effort to put their bills together to have to sort of nebulously wait. We need to be clear in what is, in fact, the next step. Because else Parliament doesn't work, obviously. Because we say, well, we want to encourage people to do private members' bills, but then, hey, look what's happened in the process. So I do think we should be cautious of that. And I think we need to be clear on the process and make sure that whoever needs to do what they have to do does it speedily, on time, so that we can actually apply our minds to these bills and get moving to a better South Africa for everybody. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Dr. George. Let's move towards conclusion before I hand over to maybe legal services. In terms of the law, a private member's bill is treated the same way as we treat a bill from a minister. So we can't say that we anticipate that Treasury is going to make amendments to the PFMA and MFMA. Therefore, we have to put the bill on hold. It doesn't work like that, because it will be like Parliament gets influenced or take mandate from the executive, whereas we have got separation of powers. So we are going to follow parliamentary processes. Whether there's going to be changes to the Act, that's the PFMA, later next year or that other year. But for now, the bill that is before us has to be processed. Now that we have received the submission from the stakeholder, it means we have to go to the next stage. If I'm not mistaken, is where we're going to deal with the motion of desirability and then take it to the other stage. But let me invite officials from the legal division of Parliament to give a way forward in regard to how we should treat this or process this bill. I saw Nolu Thando. I'm not sure if Jake, Advocate Jenkins, yeah, or...
Good morning, Chair. This is Advocate Fatimah was speaking. I'm also from Legal Services. If I may respond to your question.
Yeah, proceed, Jamie.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members, and good morning to the Chair. Yes, Chair, you are correct that the simple aspect of there being a review that might come in future is not in itself a reason for this committee. Um, we have had in the past on the National Credit Amendment Bill. There was also a private member's bill. The committee held the bill back to see what the review by the Department of Trade and Industry at the time will bring forth, to see whether there's a need for the private members bill or to rather go with the review. But in that instance, the department gave a sufficient reason why it was necessary for the bill to wait. In other words, it was more a question of policy. What is the correct wording for the legislation before the committee? And because that was still under consideration, that is why the committee was cautious to either approve or reject the motion of desirability on the National Credit Amendment Bill. So at this point in time, the committee does have a little bit of not enough information before it. You know, just to rely on the fact that there is a review of the PFMA underway. In that regard, Treasury did offer to provide more information. It might be prudent for the committee to allow that. That would be a recommendation from my side for Treasury to speak to the actual desirability of the proposals made in the bill, not just simply the fact of a review that is coming. It is important to take into account when the executive is planning a review of legislation. And the reason for that is that when legislation is reviewed by the executive, there is a holistic approach to it. So it is not just something that the committee can say, you know, we don't know when this is coming, or we don't know what the real concerns are. A review is an important matter to take into consideration. There may be one factor might impact on another factor. So it is a big picture that the committee needs to see. But I don't think the committee has that picture before it at the moment. So my recommendation to the committee would be to allow Treasury to actually speak to the content of each bill and to indicate what their concerns are and how those concerns are filtered into the review process. And then the committee can make that decision. So, Chair, because going forward, to some extent, the members have already responded to the submissions that are before the committee now. The first submitter's submission does not speak directly to any of the clauses that are in the two bills. It is more in respect of additional clauses. And that is something that I would recommend the committee only considers after a motion of desirability may have been adopted on either or both bills, because it is a matter of additions. And the committee will, in fact, have to approach the House to extend the scope of either bill if the committee decides to accept any of the proposals of the first submitter. So to that, I don't think the members need to respond at this point in time, and they have already responded to the submission from National Treasury. So the next step then for the committee is to consider a motion of desirability. And then, of course, that is where I'm saying I'm not sure if the committee has sufficient information before it in respect of the department's view on the content of the bills before the committee. Of course, that is a decision for the committee to take, to say, we've given Treasury the opportunity, they didn't respond. That is now, you know, that opportunity is gone. That is for the committee to decide. We have also had that in the past in other committees. Or the committee can decide to give Treasury that opportunity to respond to the actual content of the bills. And then the committee can, of course, then again give the members an opportunity to speak to the reasons provided by Treasury. If there are legal questions raised by Treasury, then our office will assist the committee to advise on those legal questions. And then after that, the committee can consider a motion of desirability on the bills. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Charmaine. These bills have been in the pipeline for quite some time, and it should not suggest that from the side of the committee, we don't have an intention to process the bills further. Treasury knows about this bill, or it has known about these bills for quite some time, and I think we should move to the next stage of processing the bills, so that it should not be like unduly we are delaying processing these bills. So I will suggest that let's take the bills to the next stage. Then we'll deal with other issues as and when they come at that stage. Alan, any announcement before we adjourn?
Chair, just to indicate to the committee that there are meetings scheduled on this bill next week. Considering what Advocate Funamarava just said, the response from members to the submissions, by the looks of it, that has been done. So for Tuesday the 14th, we've scheduled a response to submissions meeting, and then Wednesday the 15th is formal adoption of the motion of desirability on these bills. So that's for next week, Chair. Any other announcement? Just to say that I've just sent the link for this afternoon's meeting with the Office of the Tax Ombud. So you have that link and documents in your inboxes now. Thank you, Jane.
Okay, thanks very much. Honourable members, we'll adjourn this meeting.
Mr. Chairman, before we do, Yakodi, sir.
Okay, Mr. Liz.
Just in terms of the schedule for next week, it seems to me that the meeting on the 14th, the response, I'm not getting clarity there. The Advocate Charmaine says we've already responded. Alan says we've already responded. Are we still going to go ahead with that meeting? Sorry to be pedantic, but we've got to try and fit it in with our other committee meetings. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yabok.
Honourable Abram.
Thank you so much. I want to also apologize for coming in like this after you have made an attempt to close the meeting. But I also agree with Honourable Liz that we should clarify the responses for next week. For me, Chair, I don't know about the committee members, but for me, we also need more clarity from National Treasury, because for us, National Treasury should not just be general, but should actually speak to the actual amendments. And therefore, Chair, amongst the responses that we are expecting for next week's meeting, I think also Treasury should also, in terms of process, prepare something more specific in terms of a response to the amendment. I thank you, Chair.
Enkos. National Treasury, you are invited for the Tuesday meeting if there will be more information that you will have to provide in terms of the content. Wednesday is the motion of desirability. So let's adjourn the meeting until we meet again at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Thanks very much, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.